From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Just go ahead now. One last diamond in his pockets, and that's a breath now. This one said he wants to buy you rockets. Ain't in his head now. This one got a princely racket. That's what I said now. Got some Vixie love on his jacket. Ain't in his head now. Now you marry me, your father will disown you. He'll eat his head now. Marry him or marry me, I'm the one that left him, baby, can't you see? I ain't got no bitch or feather tree, but I know what a prince and lover ought to be. I know what a prince and lover ought to be. Said if you want to call that baby, just go ahead now. And if you like to tell that baby, just go ahead now. And if you wanna buy me flowers, just go.
I'm sure in the fullness of time we'll actually have a version of Two Princesses by Spin Doctors, which would be ideal theme music for Andy Otto and Anna Richardson with respect to Super Shoppers. Andy, of course, is with us now. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Excellent. The key thing, we're here to talk today about recent research that was conducted by Admiral. They sent mystery shoppers to 21 motorway service stations and confirmed everything I've consistently been saying as somebody who's consistently flown that flag for saying, don't do your petrol shopping in service stations or indeed motorway service stations, you will be ripped off.
Royally, yeah. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, they've got a captive audience, certainly with the petrol. And if you're running low, you've got no other options, that's what, you know, they can charge those hiked-up prices.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's, you know, 11p, 12p per litre are more expensive. But even allowing for that, if you sort of say, oh, it's okay, there are recognisable supermarket brands here, I usually pop into my usual store to actually get my sausage roll here. Even that, I mean, I was astounded. A sausage roll could cost £2.69 on the M4.
That's right, yeah. I mean, I think what's really interesting about this is not just how much more expensive motorway service station foods and snacks and petrol is, but also what a difference there is across the country. So, for example, you know, you mentioned the sausage roll there. On the M4, it's £2.64. On the M8 in Scotland, 80p. So there's a massive difference right across the UK.
I mean, this is the point, of course, because, yeah, as you've rightly said, there's that huge discrepancy. And, I mean, not that we necessarily advocate sausage rolls or any other sort of, I mean, take a healthy option.
Right.
But it does suggest that, you know, when you're going on travels and family journeys, if you can, it's best to actually be pre-prepared and not necessarily say, oh, it's okay, we'll just stop off at a service station.
Well, that's it, and I think that's the key thing, is if you can, because I feel like a lot of what we do in terms of how we live is offsetting time against money. And if you have the time, then yeah, it's great if you can make food beforehand or even just buy it from a supermarket rather than from the service stations and stock up before. But, you know, not everybody's got the time to do that, and sometimes you need a wee, or sometimes you really want a hot drink, and so that's when you are suddenly bombarded with all these, like, tempting offers as well, and you end up spending a fortune on all these snacks.
I suppose if we actually look at the importance of water closets and loos and so on, if you talk about spending a penny in town, you'd be spending, what, I don't know, half a pound, 50p in service station. At least they haven't started changing that sort of system as yet. Is there any way in which, as consumers, Andy, we can actually take a stand on this, or is it just a case of we shrug our shoulders and say, well, I just won't use the M4 anymore?
Well, I think what retailers always understand is where people spend their money. So if consumers wanted to really take a stand, they would have to spend their money elsewhere, i.e. either stock up beforehand or make the food themselves beforehand. But what the service stations are offering is something that's massively convenient. And, you know, there aren't exactly a load of options. I mean, what you could do is you could come off the motorway, find a service station in a nearby town and find a supermarket in that town and stock up like that. But, you know, who's got time to do that necessarily on a long car journey?
And obviously we've been speaking about car drivers as well for this point of view, but I mean, if you're on a coach and you're part of a group party and there's a service station stuff, I mean, again, that will impact in terms of the kind of foods that you're going to purchase as well.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, even if you are on a coach trip and there is that mandatory stop at the service stations, you can be strong. You can have made your sarnies beforehand. You don't have to buy that stuff. But again, it's just convenient, isn't it? It's just easy and it's already made. And particularly if you want hot food, then that's really going to be your easiest and most straightforward option.
Is there any reason why the South West has the most expensive service stations in the UK? Is it a case of people saying, well, if you can afford to actually go to Devon and Cornwall, you can afford to pay our prices?
I'm sure that's what they thought. I'm not sure, really. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of factors that impact the prices. But it's interesting that, I mean, that is, a real sort of holiday destination, isn't it? You've got so many great sort of holiday spots in that area, in that region. So probably that has a big impact on it as well. A lot of holiday traffic heading in that direction. So maybe, you know, they can hike their prices up a little bit more.
And yet London manages to actually cope with being not that much more expensive in terms of it's not even in the top five.
Yeah, London's top six. On this average basket of food that they use to determine, this top sort of, which places were the most expensive, London came in at number six. So the basket of food cost £30.44 in the southwest, but London, that same basket, was £24.16. And I suspect that's something to do with the fact that, you know, in London, you've got a lot of access to, you know, little Tesco Metros and, you know, Sainsbury's stores and stuff like that, the smaller ones. So it's probably easier to stock up. You're probably closer to those stores than you are if you're sort of powering down the motorway in the southwest or these other regions that were more expensive.
Is this research by Admiral good news for train operators and possibly internal flights? Will they say it's okay? Don't worry, just get your sandwiches on the train.
Right, but do you think those sandwiches?
I know, exactly.
No, I mean, look, the thing is, whenever you're paying for convenience, you're always paying a little bit more. So it doesn't matter whether you're on the train or on a plane or, you know, going to service stations, you're always going to pay a little bit extra for the convenience. But I think what Admiral's probably, what this research probably does is more help people be informed and make good choices and know that, all right, I'm choosing to pay a little bit more for the convenience rather than just feeling like they have no other option. So they know there's another option if they want to take it, but they know that if they take that option, it's going to probably cost them a little bit more, but they're buying the convenience.
Were you surprised personally, Andy, by any of the findings? Was there anything which suddenly started? I mean, we talked about the sausage roll, for instance. You might sort of think, no, I'm a vegetarian. but you know, anything from the sort of overall thing which you thought, oh, that's interesting?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the regional differences is what really struck me. But also, even though we all know this, that most stuff bought at motorway services is usually more expensive, it still shocked me how much more expensive it is than just buying stuff from a supermarket. So this, like this typical basket, it was £6.72 to buy it from a supermarket. And, you know, up to £30 if you're buying that same basket of food from a service station. That's huge difference. So that, I think that was probably the biggest thing for me.
Well, as I said at the top of the piece, Andy, if you want inspiration, then check out your own work on Super Shoppers, where you sort of serve a superb system. Finally, any words of advice, other than sort of be savvy, be aware of this, make sure that you make an informed choice, or would you say check out the Admiral website? Where would you point people, Andy, in terms
of... they can go to admiral.com/sausage roll, and in there they can see like what was in this typical basket and see the difference in prices, so they can see for themselves quite what the difference is across the country. But I think my advice is just, you know, maybe budget for it and just have a lovely holiday, because life's too short. You know, you can't be, you don't want to sort of become obsessed about these things. It's just good to be informed.
Andy, in all my years presenting the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Siren FM and other service stations and so on, I never thought we'd actually reach the point where we could put a tick beside the sign which says / sausage roll.
But it's
astounding. Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Oh, I have. Thank you.
Excellent. It's our consumer research, you see. It's vital. I think it's a new form of interactivity. So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Yes.
Yay! The original and some might well say the best version of Don't Stop Believing with Journey there. Clearly, if you're on the journey, you need to make sure that you stock up carefully with your fuel and indeed fuel both food and for the car. Talking about fuel, we're talking about losing weight in the next few moments. We'll be speaking to a performance nutritionist, the wonderful Nigel Mitchell, back with us, of course, after another tremendous success with Team Sky. He's the main nutritionist for the British cycling Team Sky, and they've done pretty well, including a whole range of victories from that point of view. We're also going to be joined by Gareth Brough, who's recently lost 10 kilograms. It wasn't by accident. It was generally focused. Yes, that's 10 kilograms, Gareth Brough. And
nutritionist extraordinaire. That would be the wonderful Nigel Mitchell. Or possibly drop 10 kilograms. As we said a few moments ago, we're delighted to welcome a dynamic duo of fine folk now. First of all, ace performance nutritionist, the fabulous Nigel Mitchell. How are you, Nigel?
I'm very good, Alex. And how are you?
Always delighted to speak to your good self, Nigel. I feel as though we get so much good sense when we connect with your good self. Maybe it's the University of Portsmouth connection. I don't know, but still. talking about dropping 10 kilograms, the amazingly wonderful Gareth Brough. How are you, Gareth?
Good morning, I'm very well, thank you very much, Alex.
Excellent. Now we're here to talk about, obviously, shedding pounds and the way in which this was something which, for many years, was seen as something where women were under pressure to constantly be dieting and so on and so forth. That's now changed. I mean, clearly, we're looking at health in many ways from that perspective and being healthy in general. Gareth, share with us your initial story, because, I mean, Barnsley is a place known to be the heart of God's own country in South Yorkshire. and you made that decision to say, enough is enough, I'm going to actually go and do this proper thing, I'm going to actually ensure that I lose weight, yeah. And you're going to take an appropriate response to that.
Yeah, well, it's a lovely part of the world, as you say. It kind of started really, not at once, but I did notice, like a lot of chaps get to, I was 46 years old, carrying a little bit more weight. I wouldn't say I was ever really obese, never, you know, the weight never stopped me really doing what I wanted to do, still quite active, but I think, you know, chaps, we get to 46, 47 years old, when you start to put weight on, it does become difficult to stop, and you do see people as they get older becoming a little bit bigger, and that's when it becomes an issue. So I did decide that actually I've got to do something about this. What really drove me actually was that I'm a cyclist, I'm went through that time in life where the kids have grown up a bit, you feel you want to get back into something you love, cycling. I've only got so many hours a week to do that, so I can go out riding 7 or 8 hours a week, but that's not going to do everything. So what else could I do to make myself that little bit faster, that little bit fitter? And the diet was a key part of that.
Now, recent research by American pistachio growers have shown that over half of Brits are currently trying to lose weight. 77% are trying to do so by eating more healthily. Nigel, is it a case of the road to Hades is paved with good intentions? We all kind of say, yes, I'm going to eat almonds today, but then we fall off the back off the wagon somehow.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, one of the big issues can be is that when people are wanting to lose some weight, and my main driver is around weight loss for health or weight loss for performance with athletes. So, you know, when people are wanting to try and lose weight, it is hard work. You have to make changes. The reason why you've gained weight is because the practice that you've been doing has not been optimal. You've been eating too much and not doing enough exercise. So you have to change that. And people need to really get into their heads that they need to make the changes that's going to be sustainable for a long time. It's not just for a few weeks. It's not just to go on holiday. The number of people who try to lose weight for a wedding, for example, and then afterwards regain that weight and an extra on top. So a lot of time I'm trying to get people to really think about what they can do long term, and that really is about bringing those calories down. But the way that we're designed as humans is that we need to be eating on a regular basis, because our blood sugars will drop, and that makes us want to crave more food. And this is where the advice that I'll give is around that healthy snacking. And there's research showing that, you know, by including some of the snacks in there can help from that weight management perspective. And one of the best snacks that I find, and I use it with people in my clinical practice, I use it with elite athletes, and I use it with people who I'm just recommending, giving recommendations to, is using things like the pistachio nuts, because of the way that they help to control our appetite, the healthy fats that they contain, and the protein as well. So these become a really good little snack, especially in the afternoon.
I'm always impressed with jockeys in particular, like Sir Frankie Dettori, who effectively will sort of go down to almost ridiculous lengths to actually work through that. But again, keeping with you, Nigel, you know, Team Sky have so much to thank you for in terms of the way in which that, I mean, you turned around the whole thing, and that's on an athletic basis, for ensuring that, you know, we can actually convert those almost might-have-beens into genuine winners.
I mean, in the elite sport side, I mean, it is different to the general population, and in sports like cycling, like horse racing, then the weight of the athlete is really, really critical. And people think sometimes that these athletes must be really unhealthy because they seem to be so thin. But if they are unhealthy, then they can't perform. And the role of the nutritionist there is to make sure that you're getting all of the nutrients in while keeping that athlete really quite thin. And some of the work that I do is with athletes when they're coming to the end of their career, because they'll have had all this control, and it is easy for some people once they finish being an athlete to gain a lot of weight, which is not necessarily good for the health in the long run.
Gareth, we do a lot of work with nutritionists with our station programs here, and from your perspective, listening to Nigel there, is this something where you acknowledge that this is for life? This is something which, in order to maintain the positivity, you've got to effectively sort of ensure that you look after the fuel you're putting into your body.
I think that's right. I mean, Nigel talks about Team Sky, and Chris Froome, Bradley Wiggins can seem a million miles away from us walking down the street in Barnsley or Lincolnshire or wherever. But the principle's the same, isn't it, really? For me, it is about, and I don't really talk about a diet, talk about a nutrition plan, and it is getting it right for your life. I'm reading some research that says, like, most of us try 3 or 4 of the fatty diets. You know, and I did try some of those, like the 5-2, but it's not sustainable, because that's not how most of us live our lives. We've got other things to worry about. So trying to make a whole lifestyle change is what worked for me, and that does mean thinking about what you eat, but also being a bit more active and being organised as well. So making sure that you prepare for the day, have a little bit of a target, set yourself a target to lose some weight. So I started in October last year, and I set myself a target to lose something by Christmas of that year, so I could feel some progress, and having that progress and, say, weighing yourself every week so you can see what's happening, I find really motivational.
And now you're maintaining that, so you're down to that target weight, and you just maintain that weight as you're going forward.
That's right, yeah. I started out quite strict for myself. I was weighing out my 30 grams of pistachios for my afternoon snack. I was weighing out my 150 grams of cooked basmati rice, so I knew exactly how many carbohydrates I was eating. But that happened for the first few months. But then I found I got to know what to eat, and I found that I got to know my own body. So now I can manage it and maintain it much more easily. And it genuinely doesn't become a burden. It just becomes part of the way that you live your life, really.
Clearly, you can look at Pistachio Power for a variety of other things. So one of the positive side of the whole process, though, is surely the amount of energy that you can actually get, and your general energy levels are positive. We hear so much today about people saying, oh, I can't get out of bed. The sloth tends to take over. I can't do this. I can't be doing with this. Whereas actually, with structural changes, you can do that. We talk a great deal about coenzyme Q10 as another line, but that's another story, Nigel. But I mean, is it a case of, you know, if you are going through, some might say, a midlife crisis, you know, working through that sort of system. Mm. You know, there are ways in which you can maintain both your fitness, your health, and, of course, quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I mean, I'm at that stage of life myself, and I like to keep myself fit, and I like to eat a good diet, and I like to do a lot of things, and unless I am organised and I get things in place, then something suffers. So for people who are in that stage of life, and older and even younger, then really thinking about how you fit in your food, look at trying to fit in that exercise as well, planning it through can help with the with all of those aspects. And we're really talking about the physical side, but again, there's plenty of research showing now all that this also helps from the emotional and psychological. And we know that in the modern world today, people have more and more stresses, more and more pressures on them. So keeping ourselves fit and healthy can help with that. Now, people are aware of it, and sometimes people get that really pushed on them, but if they don't feel empowered to be able to do that, then that can actually make them feel that little bit worse. But people have to take the first steps, and the first steps can be really simple. Let's just look at getting a nice, healthy, basic diet going, and then you can build other things in. I think one of the other things to say is people think that eating healthily is really expensive. Whereas actually, if you look at a lot of the fresh foods that we can include in it, it can be very, very cost effective as well.
And finally, I'm a great believer in almonds. I know that sort of might, to a pistachio person, you might sort of think, what almond? There's pistachios, etc. Is there a huge difference in terms of the quality and the range of nuts from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, all of the tree nuts are different. I mean, one of the reasons that I support American pistachio nuts is because those as a nut tend to be one of the lower in the, as far as fat's concerned, and the fats that are in them tend to be more of the healthy ones like linoleic acid and all of the monounsaturated fatty acids in there. But not only that, because it does tend to be lower in fat, it has more protein in it, so that standard portion will give about 6 grams of protein. But when you bite into one of those nuts, the pistachio, you see all the different colours, and these are all of the antioxidants. So the pistachios are a great source of antioxidants as well. Now, other nuts contain some of these, but actually the pistachio tend to be that little bit more complete with it all.
Which is probably why Fox Mulder and the X-Files uses them, so it's a different line entirely from that perspective. Gentlemen, it's been superb connecting with your good self with some very sage words of wisdom and advice there. Nigel, is there a particular website that you'd recommend that people should actually go to check out to find out further information about what we're talking about today?
Well, I think from general nutrition point of view, the British Dietetic Association has some really good information on the website, and the NHS provide good information as well.
Splendid. As ever, Nigel, informative, entertaining, and indeed generally full of packed with material. Gareth, it's been a delight speaking to you yourself as well. Hopefully, gentlemen, we'll speak again very soon. Many thanks.
Cheers, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. Cheers. I'm
used to know. I closed my
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott
and Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting.podbean.com.